What a service we had last week. I had that taste in my being all week. I thought of it over and over again. And it was just a wonderful, blessed time. And I certainly thank God for the invitation to come here and enjoy it. As we were together, as we prayed together, we sang together, we ate together, we had a baptism together, we had a dedication together. Wow! It was something, wasn't it? I couldn't get over it all week. I just sat there and thought of it, looked through my pictures, and it was just one of those meetings you'll never forget. I haven't got all the pictures here because, of course, we can't put some of the pictures up publicly, but we had four baptisms, and here are two of them, and it was just wonderful to see these young men, pay me after, these young men get follow the Lord in baptism. So that was awesome. So that was fantastic. And the fellowship downstairs, woo! That was so nice, eh? Nice lunch together, talking together, and just chatting together, meeting old friends, talking and praying, and it was just one of those Sundays you'll never forget. At least I won't forget anyway. There's a rose between two thorns and another rose between two thorns. I just might mention that if you missed the message last night, which is the first message of a series of messages, it is on already on your web page. I enjoy your web page. I don't know who does it, but congratulations, whoever does it. It's certainly interesting. It's kept up to date. The messages are there. So I'm hoping that you will take advantage of the web page and just look at during the week. Sunday, November the 25th. That's today, right? Yep. Yeah, we're here. No snow yet, though. But did you notice the snow in the mountains this morning? Beautiful. I believe it's the first snowfall we had. Now, what I'm going to be talking about this morning, I'm sure some of you are going to say, well, it's a fairy tale. It's an unlikely tale. You're going to say to me, but Ron, it's an unlikely story. And you're going to say, but, you know, it's unbelievable. And the people out there on Halifax and all around us are going to say over and over today, if I tell them unlikely story, but I'm going to tell you about an unlikely God. And the story I have today is not a fairy tale. It happened, it's real, it's recorded, and it's all about a son. Wow, a son. This is Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth. A son! Look at the old guy. Eh? So we're going to look at it. We're going to be talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to be blessed and vindicated. And we're going to be talking about Luke chapter 1, 57 or 80. So would you open up in your Bibles and follow along to this chapter. And one thing we're going to be talking about today, and it's a very delicate subject, we're going to talk about the situation they were in. It was a very sad situation. And I'm going to be referring to it quite a bit during this message because it meant quite a bit. See, Elizabeth, in her old age, she was barren. She was without child. And, you know, during this, we're not in Advent yet because next Sunday, I believe, is the first Sunday of Advent. But as we prepare for Christmas, as we go through these different stories, like last week, Mary and the angel, Gabriel, and as we look at the shepherds, as we looked at Joseph, and we talked about fear last week. And if you remember, we talked about how the angel said to these three different individuals, fear not. But, you know, there was a big problem in today's story. Here we have a lady who was pure. This woman was a good woman. She was a person who believed in God. And She was barren. Now, today, it's not such a big thing not to have children. Many, many people in this particular generation we're in now don't want children. They want to have a more free life. A lot of them can't. We're going to be talking about that. But there's a lot saying, no, we don't want children because, you know, we can be freer. Whoopee! Party time! No children. But in biblical times, it was very important to have children. And Elizabeth experienced a lifetime of struggling over her barrenness. In the culture of that time, and you've got to try to get our heads into that. In that culture, women were good for very little but bearing children and raising children. I know that's, if I said that publicly today, if I meant it like for today's society, I would probably go to prison. But that's what women were for. To have children, look up the children, look after their husbands. And long after Elizabeth was very aged, she became pregnant. Now, she didn't come pregnant like Mary did, but all of her life, she waited. She waited. And that's what the message is about today. Now, I touched a little bit on this. I'm not sure if I spoke on it here, but when I took up Acts chapter 1, when Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit. And I talked a little about waiting, but we're going to enlarge on the whole idea of waiting, because waiting is one of the most difficult things we have to do. Waiting on God, waiting for the Messiah. We wait for so many different things. We wait for stoplights. Morning after morning when you go to work, you have to wait in front of a stoplight. You wait for supper time. You wait for difficult meetings. You wait at the grocery stores. You wait at the bank. We wait, 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 wait. It's something that we don't like to do, especially in this age of instant potatoes. Instant this, instant that. I want it, you get it. Boom. That's all they have to do. We do not like to wait. And of course, when I'm preaching on this, I'm preaching to myself because I don't have patience. I don't have one of those virtues. I want it. Ja, ahora. Tout suite. Vamos. Adelante. Let's go. We want it. Let's do it. It's like myself, I'm waiting on the return of Christ. I'm waiting. I'm praying. I want my wife and I to be hand in hand and meet Jesus in the air. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But aren't we all waiting for the Messiah? I hope you're waiting for him. The last book of the Bible in Revelation, the last chapter said, even so come Lord Jesus. And if you're not waiting for the Lord, there's something wrong. Sure, we want our lives. We want to enjoy our kids and our grandchildren, maybe even our great-grandchildren. But are we waiting? Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to meet us in the air. Won't that be great? Won't that be great? Now, in the time of the Old Testament, of course, the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years under slavery, under the Egyptians, and they were waiting for a deliverer. They're waiting for somebody to bring them out of Egypt. And that was Moses and Aaron, of course. But you know, when we read the Bible and we study it, we find over and over again, there were 700 years that the Israelites were under the impression, under the Roman Empire, under the Greek and so on, 700 years. And there was 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament where they didn't have a king. They didn't have any scriptures. They're waiting, 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 waiting for the Messiah. And the Jews today still are waiting for the Messiah. But the Messiah has come, and that's what we're going to be doing in less than 30 days, I believe. We're going to be celebrating the birth of the Messiah, Jesus, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But we have to wait. We have to wait. And unfortunately, the Jewish nation is still waiting. And yet yesterday, there was 110 people at Cascades Gospel Chapel, Messianic Jews, and they were celebrating Yahweh. So waiting is not a pleasant thing. We just don't like to wait. We wait. Anticipation, preparing. It's hard work. But this is a season of waiting for Christmas. We're waiting for Christmas to celebrate. I'm looking forward. Cascades Gospel Chapel is having a Christmas service for the first time, I would say, at least in 5 decades. The 24th. I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting. I'm anxious. I'm looking forward to it. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting for a son. And also they were waiting for the Messiah. Year after year after year, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed with anticipation, with preparing for the coming, maybe of a son, a little child that she would, you know, have in her arms. And Advent is a time of waiting. We usually celebrate it 4 Sundays before Christmas. And we're waiting for the Messiah. The waiting is something that children have a problem with, but also adults. Going down Boundary Road, for instance, at 5 o'clock in the evening, people aren't waiting. And they cut down our lane behind our house and whoom, 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 because they don't want to wait for the light at East 22nd. So they go down to our place, go down Smith to Grandview Highway, down Grandview Highway, and left onto the freeway. People do not like to wait. But waiting on God is hard. But I'm telling you right now, it's not easy. But I'm telling you this morning, and the message is it's worth waiting on God. I don't know what you're waiting on. Maybe you're waiting on a new job. Maybe you're waiting on a child. Maybe you're waiting on a new position. Maybe you're waiting on your son coming to know Jesus as his Savior or your daughter. Maybe you're waiting for your grandparents. I mean, we're all waiting. It's worth waiting. All things work together for good to love those who love God. And that's scriptural. But after years of waiting for a child which hadn't come, and Zechariah waiting also to do something very special. He was a high priest. He was a priest. And once a year, the priest could go into the holiest of holies. And we're going to be talking about that too. Because he wanted that position. He wanted that privilege. See, we can go into the holiest of holies. We did this morning. As we worship God in his own appointed way. We worshiped him as if we were a high priest going into the holiest of holies. Because when Jesus died, that veil was ripped from the bottom up to the top. And we today, because of Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, we can go into the holiest of holies. We don't have to wait once a year. And really, we're going to find out that it's really once a lifetime for the priest in the time of Zechariah, because he was a faithful priest, a good priest, but he was waiting. He was waiting to be chosen to go into the holiest of holies. He was waiting for a son. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Wow, poor guy. But it's worth it. It's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. Waiting on the Lord. And see, the when in his life, probably, when is a Messiah coming? Why? When is a child coming to my wife? When? It probably changed to a why. I mean, we're natural. Lord, why haven't you answered me? I have asked you to have my brother saved for 23 years, and he's still not saved. Why, Lord? waiting for the Lord to answer your prayers. Keep praying. I prayed for mine for 28 years. I believe it was 28, and he came to know the Lord. I waited on the Lord for 28 years. But Zechariah waited and waited on the Lord. And the when, I'm sure came to, but why, Lord? What's wrong with my wife? Now, can you imagine what the people thought of Elizabeth? You know, maybe she sinned. Maybe there's something in her life that's not right. Maybe she's disobedient to God. Can you imagine not having a child in those days? Today, they throw children away. They kill children today. And we won't go into the political abortion and all those things. But it's not important. But in the time of the Old Testament, it was so important, so important. I had a friend of mine, Tachuela, Miguel Sandrino, prayed for 10 years. And just 3 months ago, he got a doubleheader. Woohoo! 10 years they tried to have a child. 10 years they went to doctors and had all of the whatever happens. I don't know all the medical things. But they sent me this picture yesterday. So I put it into my sermon. 10 years they waited. And God answered them. His brother had 4 children. Sister had 3 children. He had nada, rien, nothing. But God answered his prayer. But he was faithful for 10 years. So don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. God hears us and he responds, even though we think he doesn't. It might be yes. It might be no. And unfortunately, it might be wait. But we have to wait. We have to wait. Zechariah waited. Elizabeth waited. Because in those times it was something that people thought if this didn't happen or that didn't happen, that you know, that God didn't hear their prayers. Can you imagine? We find that Elizabeth, believe it or not, you might not know this, but she's from the lineage of Aaron. Now Aaron was a high priest. So she was from a priestly family, a religious family, a godly family. And Zechariah was a priest. But there's maybe something they did wrong. Maybe they were, no, that's not true. I can remember, and I confess this to you this morning, I preached 2 or 3 years against depression. I thought a person had depression was because there was some sin in their life. I preached that. Can you imagine? I had to ask God forgiveness because it's not. It could be a medical situation, a chemical unbalance. I'm not a doctor, a nurse, or anything, but I've learned that since, and I've had to ask God forgiveness. So when something's wrong in your life, it's not because of sin in your life. Maybe God is just saying, listen, brother, sister, you've got to wait on me. You've got to wait on me because God does hear our prayers, and he does answer our prayers. Jesus is the light. The light of the world is Jesus. And he wants us to wait on him. Now, what benefits are there waiting on the Lord? And I just wrote down a couple here, and I mentioned these the other last time. We read in Acts. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift of promise, as I told you. Jesus told the disciples to wait. Now, why should we wait? Well, first thing, there's reasons why we should wait. Waiting on the Lord requires patience, trust. Waiting on the Lord reminds us that God is in control. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do his work. Waiting on the Lord increases my strength. And we're just going to take a very, very quick look at these three things. First of all, waiting on the Lord requires patience and trust. Do you trust Jesus? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to put your whole confidence in him. We got to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And as you're anxious, as you're excited, waiting. You have to trust. Trust God. He'll come through. but we have to wait. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. We have to trust. The second thing we find about trusting in waiting on the Lord reminds us that God is in control. God is in control. The world's out of control. I got a new app on my iPad. It's called Global News on the Go. And I'm first time in my life, unfortunately, I've been looking at news this last couple of weeks. The world's a mess. But God is in control. You might think God's not in control, but he is in control. And we find that over. Waiting on the Lord reminds me that God is in charge and God is in control. And we were waiting on the Lord allows God to do his work. He wants to work in and through us. Waiting on the Lord increases our strength. Waiting on the Lord. Are you waiting on the Lord? I love this picture. If you remember, we talked about Mary. And she had a visit from an angel. And she was sort of an angel. And she was sort of, afraid. And the angel said, fear not. And what did Elizabeth do? She went and visited, Mary went and visited her cousin, sister, went and visited Elizabeth. And the baby inside of Elizabeth moved. It was leaped, it says in the Bible. The child leaped in her womb, and she is filled with the Holy Spirit, revealing God's plan of salvation in his birth. God answered the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they waited. It was a fairy tale, you might say, because it was past childbirth, past child, the womb had been, I don't know all the medical things, but it was fini. But nothing's finished with God. God can do nothing, can do miracles. He can do anything. New Testament says, the Lord has done this to me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people. And this is Elizabeth talking. And she was full of joy and she was full of delight. Can you imagine? I'm going to have a baby. I don't know how old she was. Maybe she was 80 years old. I don't know. I search and search. Anybody finds it this week, give me a call. But God answered her prayers. God answered her prayers. And it was so wonderful. You know, I love Christmas time. You know, a lot of people say, you know, Christmas is a pagan time. And I like Christmas. I love Christmas. And I love Christmas because it's a time that we can witness for Jesus. We don't know if he was born December the 25th. I mean, but what a time to witness, and I love it. It's a cheerful time. And God shows his mercy to us. God shows his love by sending his son down to Bethlehem. And God answered the prayers of his people. But you know, I have to wait for Christmas. Yes, I think it's 29 days till Christmas, something like that. And you know what? Children, they've got to wait for Christmas. We've got to wait for Christmas. Children don't like to wait. You know, you start wrapping the presents and they're sort of looking here and looking there. And then the month goes slow for the children. The four Sundays of Advent are slow because they're waiting, waiting, waiting. And of course, for us as parents, it goes too fast because we have so many things to prepare for. And I can remember always sneaking around, looking around, excited. But I had to wait for Christmas. Wait for Chris, Ronnie. Wait for Christmas, Ronnie. Take it easy. Slow down. But what a wonderful time of the year that we can tell others about. Waiting for Christmas. And the theme of this whole gospel message this morning is waiting. Waiting on the Lord. And I'm encouraging you to wait on the Lord for everything in life. Pray and wait. That's what we're called to do. Christmas will arrive. It's arrived for 2,000 years. If the Lord doesn't come. But we have to be patient. We have to be patient. You know, the people of Israel are still waiting for the Messiah. They waited. They kept watch. They prayed. God, send the Messiah. Generation after generation of waiting, but no Messiah. No fulfillment of God's promise. It was as if God was no longer listening. The Messiah has come, dear friends. And we are encouraged to trust the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. And He will renew our strength. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Zechariah and Elizabeth were amongst a small group of Jews who were still waiting for the Messiah. And they celebrated when John the Baptist was born, and they celebrated when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was born. And He's here today. He's amongst us. We have to receive Him. Can you imagine at Christmas time if there's a nice Christmas wrapping present under the tree, and you go up to that, and you pick it up, and you look at it, and you look at it, and it's so beautifully wrapped, you look at it, and you put it down, and you're not going to open it on the 25th or the 26th, and January goes by, and February, March, April, and it's sitting there. That's like Jesus. He wants you to accept Him today. Wait on the Lord. He's come. Now you have to accept God's gift to us. This Christmas would be the most wonderful Christmas in your life if you accepted Jesus. Don't lose hope. I mean, when you see this couple, they hadn't lost hope. You know, a lot of things happened during that time. A lot of things, and you know, it was so interesting because she felt worthless. She felt worthless. She didn't think she was good for anything. And she just kept praying, and God answered the prayers. And God will answer your prayers too. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to wait upon Him. He wants to be your Savior. Worthless. No value. Purposeless. This is what Elizabeth thought of herself. She was shamed. Those who were not able to conceive were believed to be cursed. Can you imagine? But she continued to wait upon the Lord. She continued praying for a child. She continued praying for the Messiah. She continued to pray. And she waited. And she felt all these things. You read in the scriptures about this, and you look in the commentaries, and you look in the web pages and so on. The way she must have felt. Childbirth was past her time. And the text reads, and both were getting on in years. Both were getting on in years. It seemed to be too late. Nothing's too late for the Lord. And how about Zechariah? He wanted to go behind those curtains. This is the holy. This is between, on the other side of there is the holiest of holies. And you know, it's very interesting when you look up the whole thing. And you know, when the time came and a conqueror came into Jerusalem during the time, Zechariah was probably about 15 years old. And Pompey came in in 65 B.C. And he came in and he went into the temple. He went into the holy place. He went into the holiest holy. And God didn't strike him dead. I bring this up because, you know, this would have discouraged most people in that time. because here's a foreign invader coming into their holy place. And he wasn't struck dead. But you know the exciting thing, the first time in generations God makes himself known in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christmas coming. This is Christmas. God makes himself known. Yes, the angel visited Zechariah, and we haven't got time to go into it all, but I mean, he had faith, but he was, wow, a boy? It's very interesting. It's important that we understand what goes on here. First of all, for instance, Zechariah was one of about 1,800 priests that served the temple, a godly man. These priests were divided into 24 different groups. Each of these divisions would serve the temple for a week, twice a year. So think of it. God comes to him just as he's going to go into the temple because it's a one-of-a-lifetime thing. So he was going to go into the holiest holy. He was going to go in behind the curtain. And he was struck dumb. He couldn't speak because he doubted God. Yes, he had faith, but he doubted God. And I encourage you not to doubt God. And when that child came, you can imagine what he thought. And at that time, you know, he had to write on pieces of paper. But God, in his mercy, answered his prayer. God is a God of mercy, and he wants to be merciful to you. God is a God of blessings. God wants to bless you. God is a God of forgiveness, and he wants to forgive you of your sins. So come to him. Come to him. God is real. And this Christmas time is not just for children to think of Santa Claus. You know, we hear, here come Santa Claus, here come. You know, we get all, okay, that's that. But the real reason for the season is Christ. And we are to wait upon him. In closing, we're going to listen to something that's very, very nice. It comes from Luke chapter 1, 69 to 73. It's the song of Zechariah. Can you imagine when Zechariah got his speech back after doubting? He had this song. So why don't we just close our eyes, and there's no picture up here, but we're just going to listen to his song of blessing. And just think of Christmas. Think of Christ. Think of waiting. Think of what I've been talking about. The God of blessing. The God of
forgiveness. Savior of the world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again. So we come together on a Sunday morning and listen to what the Bible says to us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have been exhorted this morning to wait upon you. Father God, we're waiting for you to come back in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the rapture. We're looking forward to that. But as we come into this Advent, at that season, we're waiting on you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you came in the person of the baby in manger in Bethlehem. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful story of Zachariah and Elizabeth. We thank you, you answered their prayers. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that they had a baby and his name was John the Baptist. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that he was able to rejoice over the Messiah who came after John the Baptist. And now we wait for your second coming, Lord. You promised to come the first time you came. And Heavenly Father, we know that you promised to come the second time to take the church up with you. And we know you're going to come. So during this Christmas season, help us to give all these Gospels of John. Help us, Heavenly Father, to tell others the reason for the season. Help us to be brave as we wait for your return. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you for those 33 years he was here on the earth. Thank you for his way of acting, reacting. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have a model that we can try to model our lives after. Use us today.